합의하는가?
Good morning. Today I'm pleased to announce for the third parliamentary term in a row, the National Led Government will again be supported on confidence and supplied by United Future. Our two parties have worked together closely over the past 6 years to help ensure a stable government, and both Peter and I look forward to that continuing for the next 3 years. This agreement builds on the progress we've made over the past two terms, highlights a number of policy areas in which National and United Future will continue to work together on, and as is the norm with these agreements, sets out the process through which the two parties will work together in good faith. With respect to these processes, there is very little, if any, change from the last two agreements. They've worked very well. The agreement sets out United Future's commitment to vote for the National-led government on all matters of confidence and supply. All other legislative matters are to be negotiated on a case-by-case basis in much the same way as they have been over recent years. There may well be issues over the next 3 years where the two parties have a different view. Given National and United Future are two separate political parties, that should not come as a surprise to anybody. But I do know from my experience in dealing with Peter that we will be able to constructively work together on policy issues, and there is a difference of viewpoint, we can agree to disagree without impacting on the strength of the overall relationship. I'm pleased to announce Peter will again be joining the Executive as a Minister outside of Cabinet. He will retain his existing portfolios as Minister of Internal Affairs, Associate Minister of Conservation, Associate Minister of Health. Peter brings a vast wealth of experience to these roles, and I welcome him back as a Minister. This afternoon I'll be joined by David Seymour to announce the agreement with the ACT Party, and later this week I hope to be in a position to join with the Māori Party for a similar announcement. Can I repeat what I've said a number of times since the election day? The presence of these three parties makes us a stronger and, I believe, a better government. I'm determined to govern in the interests of all New Zealanders, and including Peter Dunn and others with the different perspectives that they bring to issues as part of helping the National League government achieve this goal. I now invite Peter to make some comments, then we're happy to take any of your questions on this coalition agreement. Given the time restrictions, I'd ask that you leave any other questions relating to other matters today until after this afternoon's media conference, where I'm more than happy to address any of those. So Peter, just ask you to make some comments and ask some questions.
Well, thank you, Prime Minister. This is the third occasion that United Future and National have entered into a post-election confidence and supply agreement. Now, this agreement is a little different from the previous two, given the circumstances of the outcome of the last election. And this is one that relies much more on good faith and the established working relationship of the last 6 years as the way forward. We will be continuing to work together in areas where we have common interests, and another set of areas where we have been pursuing issues over the last period of time, and that will also continue. But this is a significant step, given that for the first time in our country's history under MMP, a single party majority government has been elected. I welcome the fact that the Prime Minister has reached out to other parties to broaden the scope of his government and to enter into relationships which will ensure a good and stable government, and hopefully that some of the rougher edges get knocked off from time to time. It's been a privilege to be part of this government over the last 6 years. I'm certainly looking forward to continuing in my existing roles and also to continuing to make progress on the matters that are important to us, including those signalled in the agreement.
So where does that leave the likes of Flex and Circa?
Well, with all of those issues, we'll continue to work together on a case-by-case basis where things are of interest. So really what we've tried to do with our agreements today is set up a broad framework where particular parties, in this case United Future, will vote for the government on competence and supply and procedure motions. But outside of that, we are neither demanding or asking of anything, neither giving anything in terms of actual policies, but there's an open door, if you like, to continue to work together on policies like that.
Confidentiality is also mentioned in here. Have you spoken with Mark Dunn again about whether he leaked that illegal spying report?
No, and I don't think that's at all necessary. We're entering the 51st Parliament. We've had a very solid working relationship together. Confidentiality has been the stock standard issue as part of all of our competence and supply agreements.
So just on that, John, he question for both of you. Who leaked the GCSB report?
Well, the answer is I don't know, but nor do I care. I mean, in the end, we can either spend the next 3 years looking back at issues, or we can spend the next 3 years looking forward. My sense of what happened on election night was New Zealanders said they wanted to see a return to national led government. They wanted us, I believe, to work with other parties, which we're doing, and they want us to focus on the issues that matter for the next 3 years. And really, all of that becomes a bit historical.
Sure, Peter Dunn.
No, I would echo that.
Did you get
the GCSB? Well, I've consistently said I didn't. I'm not going to change my position now to suit your convention.
So, have you ever looked the Prime Minister in the eye, shook his hand, and said, I did not leak
it? We've had that discussion at the time. I can't remember whether I looked him in the eye and shook your hand, but it was a pretty frank discussion.
The issue is about trust, though, isn't it? So, is there a level of trust between the two of you to be able to maintain this relationship in light of the Kitteridge report issue?
Well, for a start of what I can say is I wouldn't form a competence and supply agreement with another political party or political leader unless I believed I could rely on them, whether I thought they would add value. And in Peter's case, he can and I do. As I said, I can spend lots of time thinking about lots of other issues. I don't think they actually add a lot. Peter was back as a minister the latter part of the last parliamentary term that worked efficiently and effectively, and I think it will continue to do so in the future. At the end of the day, providing the specials hold up, and probably they will. National doesn't actually need to have confidence in supply agreements with any other parties. It's doing that because, A, I think it satisfies the test of having more rounded, inclusive government, but actually also because we have partners that we trust and want to work with, and Peter's one of those partners.
I think from our perspective, we've always had a pretty good relationship going back well before the time you became Prime Minister, and I think that's been important over the years in government, but also I think it provides a basis of a good way forward.
What say when the specials come in, National actually need your vote, will you feel, Mr Dunn, as though you've signed up this agreement for not much advice?
No, because if I go back to what we said in terms of the context of the agreement, we will still be able to advance issues and will do so. Obviously, if the numbers change, I guess that the weight to be attached to those issues increases. So I don't see this agreement as being in any sense a problem in that respect. I just think it provides an overarching framework under which we can pursue policy objectives.
Is there any expectation you'd support National's changes to the RMA if your vote was required?
Well, I think that's one of those areas. Well, firstly, let's see what the final overarching is. Secondly, I think that's one of those areas where positions aren't pretty clear, and that may be one of those instances where the government uses its majority, but let's not get ahead of ourselves at this point.
Do you still oppose that legislation then?
Well, I oppose what was proposed. Now, the question is, and I think it's fair to say the government hasn't had a chance yet to take it to the next step, let's see what the legislation looks like at the time the government proposes.
Mr Keane, do you want, though, for the RMA changes, do you want broader base of support, given how significant they could be?
Yeah. So my preference is to build a bigger majority for our legislative agenda than simply a one-seat majority, and that's equally true for our RMA changes. I mean, in the end, we'll always reserve the right to pass them 61-60 if we have to. We've done that in the past, passed things by a bare majority, but my preference would be to build a bigger consensus with other political parties. So, yep, the RMA legislation is currently on the books. It's going to be carried over through the carryover motion.
We'll have to wait and see who the Minister for the Environment is, you know, post the naming of the executive, and whether there are changes that are recommended or suggested, and whether they find favour with other political parties.
Would you soften those reforms to get the support of Mr Downing?
Well, look, at the end of the day, we want to pass that legislation. I mean, and I don't want to speak to Peter, but I think the main sticking point was really around the merger of Section 6 and 7 of that Act. There's always a number of ways you can look at that sort of situation. So let's sort of see how things go. We continue to meet with the environment groups who have concerns there, but see a lot of favour with other things we're trying to do in the legislation. As said on election night, we're going to do our best to govern with the best interests of New Zealanders, accepting that sometimes you can't always meet that test for people. But let's wait and see. I'm feeling reasonably confident about where we're going.
The
vast majority of the changes, the process group of changes, are ones that are unobjectionable as far as I can see. The question does come down to the ordering of the priorities and the objectives under clauses 6 and 7. Which is more at the principles level, but certainly in terms of the operational level, I think we've said right from the beginning, there's absolutely no opposition to those, but it's the question of those particular.
So would you like to see National soften that 6 and 7?
Well, of course I would, yes, but whether that happens, time will tell, and we'll have a look at that and see a position in the light of that.
Mr. Key, might you actually harden your position on that RMA? I mean, You've got major development issues around property developers, all sorts of things. You're trying to build more housing. Isn't it likely that you'll go the other way?
If you look at the special housing areas, the special housing areas reflected the fact that the RMA, in its current form, wouldn't have allowed those to take place, so we did standalone legislation for that. That's absolutely true. And that legislation has a sunset period in it, so at some point we'll want to have better flexibility and capacity for the release of land, both potentially for both industrial and urban. On the other side of the coin, we need to name an executive. If there theoretically is a new minister for the environment, which you can't rule out, if that was the case, the new minister might want to have a look and see whether he thinks or she thinks that the legislation is set in exactly the right place, and we'll need to work our way through that. So, you know, all I'd sort of say is, I said on election night or post that, you know, I don't see National veering off on some very hard right-wing agenda. I don't think that would either serve the country or actually National's interests in the best possible way. So we'll see when the executive's named, we'll have a look at what, you know, various ministers think is appropriate, and we'll take it forward. But passing reformed RMA legislation is a top priority of the government. What that legislation looks like is for another day.
Mr. Dunn, is Vexi Super dead
now? No, I don't think so. I think the discussion is still a live one. In fact, it's still something we will be pursuing with the government. If you look at where we got to in the last parliament, under our previous agreement, there was a government discussion paper issued. There were submissions invited upon that. Those have been received and processed. In fact, we had a discussion earlier this morning with the Minister of Finance about some of the issues that were raised about that. So I don't think that the issue is dead and buried. I think that really this is an issue that we will continue to discuss, and certainly is one that United Future will continue to
push. So where is it in that process then? What do you expect the government to come back with?
Well, I think we need the next phase, in my view, will be some discussion about the issues that have been raised through the consultation process, and whether and how they can be addressed.
Peter, what's one tangible thing you can point to in this agreement for New Zealanders other than you keeping your ministerial job?
Oh, for the work that we've done in the area of the medicine strategy and the changes that will come as a result of this agreement in terms of giving people greater access to medicines. Already over the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen something like 250,000 more New Zealanders getting access to medicines that they need. Changes that we're looking at in terms of the role of pharmacy, in terms of its role as a primary care agent, and some of the broader changes that might flow from that will be very beneficial for large numbers.
That will be achieved out of this confidence.
Well, it's mentioned in the agreement, and we're working on it at the moment, and I think it will be achieved, yes.
The agreement also mentions improving water quality in lakes and rivers. Yeah. How are you planning to do that?
Well,
during the campaign, we obviously set out where we want to go in terms of fresh water. So prior to the election, clearly the national policy statement and the operational framework for water, and then on the campaign trail, buying back, you know, and spending that $100 million buying back those marginal strips of land. There's more work to be done there. Now that fits in, I think, pretty nicely with the work that Pete's been doing in conservation. And it's quite, I think it's quite clear to everybody that we need to work on improving the quality of those waterways as we continue to grow and intensify agriculture in New Zealand. So there is a lot of work, common ground to do together, which actually I think a lot of political parties around the Parliament will endorse.
And it's at a variety of levels. Some of it will be at the national level in terms of specific policy positions. Some of it will be at a regional level in terms of regional council plans and strategies, and some of it's just at a public awareness level in terms of public interest. For instance, I'll give you one for instance. Under the Overseas Investment Act, there is a provision in Clause 17 for matters relating to the protection of fresh waters, fisheries and hatcheries, etc., to be taken into account when considering applications for the sale of foreign land where there might be rivers or lakes running through it. My advice is that there has been very little in the way of consultation to date by the Overseas Investment Office with groups like Fish and Game and others on the implication of those provisions when considering such applications. And I suspect a more rigorous enforcement of that provision might actually deal with quite a lot of the public concern about access and all of those sorts of issues that arises whenever a foreign land sale is being considered. So I'm simply saying that is one example of one level of step that can be taken. The legislation's already there, it's a matter of ensuring it's enforced.
Do you think the national policy statement proposed by the government is enough to do
it? I think the two, I think if you look in that particular instance, the two together with rigorous enforcement achieve the objective.
So just coming back to the enhanced role of pharmacists in patient medicines management and primary care, what tangible outcome were you saying you were going to be?
Well, we've already seen far more people, around a quarter of a million, getting access to medicines. I can't put a figure on it because it won't actually necessarily be just in the medicines area. A lot of it will be in terms of a number of the tests that are performed routinely by, that people have to go to the doctor for, to the nurse for. They may not, there are already moves afoot, and we're starting to see some extension of those roles into pharmacy. I want to see that extended, and I think that the next thing then is to ensure, and it's referred to in the agreement, that the pharmacy contract reflects the taking up of those wider roles by particular pharmacists.
So this enhancing the role of pharmacists, that's your main achievement over and above?
Well, I think it's a pretty significant achievement. I think it's a pretty significant achievement in terms of the public health of New Zealand. It's
You're not in charge of PharmAc, are you?
No, but I work closely with PharmAc. PharmAc is the procurement agency. And one of the things that's happened as a consequence of the changes of recent years has been it's become far more, I think, astute and sharp in terms of the bundles of medicines that it purchases at good benefit to the public.
Mr. Dunn, do you expect your income splitting bill to get a hearing in the House this time?
Look, we'll wait and see on that one.
Just one of the wider things, you're going to see a very similar theme run through all of the competency supply agreements that we are establishing this term. I think the important point to remember there is, on the one hand, while there are no direct policy wins for the political parties, we are also not getting anything in return. So essentially what we're doing is saying we want to have a relationship where we work together with these political parties. Yes, we get confidence in supply, but actually, if you think about that, beyond that, and that builds a bit of buffer for us in the House. We've never been one for stuffing lots of things into confidence and supply motions that we couldn't actually get past. Beyond that, we're actually going to have to work with United Future on every piece of legislation we've got. There's a much stronger position, actually, for United Future, and actually puts more onus on the government to do that. Now, of course, the government could always take the lazy option and say that it will just try and pass everything through its absolute majority. But that, I don't think, is the approach that we want to take. It's certainly one I've signaled to the country I don't intend to take. So I wouldn't see it so much as here's a policy win versus here's a, you know, something the government's giving up. It's about building on 6 years of hard work and of a good relationship. And that means for 3 years we're going to be working very closely with Peter as we have over the last six.
But isn't there a risk, though, that you know there's more likely for the minor parties to vote against the government because we know that they get absorbed by National in terms of losing. So they know that you don't need their vote, so it'll be easier for them to say no. And on the other hand, from your perspective, you want to get legislation through, so you get to a point like you where you say, oh, we're not going to talk anymore, let's just put it through.
Well, that's always been the risk when you've had minority government effectively and confidence in supply motions, as opposed to a formal coalition. That's always been one of the risks. And we saw that when you had things held up at the end of the last parliamentary term. In the end, it's incumbent upon us as the government, I think, or as national, to try and work with those other political parties and try and build a broader consensus. I have absolutely no doubt that every time we pass legislation by 61 to 60 votes, that will make the top of the bulletin. So we're going to work hard to try and build that out if we can. As I said, I've always got to reserve the right to do that, because from time to time you have to do that. But we are genuinely going to work with our partners and actually with other political parties where we can on other particular issues. We'll see how it goes. We'll do our best. But, I'm confident we're going to have a good, solid working relationship.
And in fact, we've been able to achieve that a lot to date. A couple of examples from the Parliament just finished. There were changes made very close to the end of the Parliament to the legislation governing veterans, a whole lot of changes about special assistance, which came as a result of negotiations between Michael Woodhouse as the Minister and me over changes that would be necessary to get support across the line. Similarly, changes, I think, are pending to the industrial relations legislation in a similar vein. So the incentive is actually there to work to improve legislation as we see it always. And the fact that the government has now the fallback position of 61-60, from my perspective, doesn't lessen that incentive. It might mean that we become less intransigent, in the sense that if you get to a point where you know you're not going to be able to take it any further, you can say, well, okay, you guys, use your majority. But it doesn't remove the incentive to try and improve things and make them better.
Mr. Dunn, do you think David Seymour is worthy of a position similar to the one you're going to hold, in the sense that he is going to get some sort of...
Look, I'm not going to comment on that. I think that would be inappropriate. I don't know, actually, Mr. Seymour. I think I've met him once or twice. I'm looking forward to working with him. But, the agreement that the ACT Party concludes is with the National Party. It's not an agreement that I'm party to.
Can I throw it up there, folks?
Okay, see you Sunday.